right. Welcome to the new and updated version of Filling in the Gaps. We are now called Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We have three new hosts. I'm one of them, Sam, from the lovely state of New York.
I'm Malcolm from the sunny state of California. Well, most days.
And I am David from the evergreen state of Washington.
All right. So what we did first is I'm rolling a lovely Hades Flame from Talon and Claw that I received in the mail today. And I rolled a lovely 13 for scenarios.
And I rolled a 14 for themes.
Oh, actually, I meant
and
to...
And I'm rolling a dice I got from Wish.com, so there you go with that.
I apologize. We were supposed to re-roll. I re-rolled for a 17 for scenarios.
Oh, well, still 14 because I did re-roll. We can fix that in post.
So the theme for our episode this week is going to be a board game, and the scenario is Find the Cure. Looks like we're playing Pandemic.
Okay, so we have... Wait, hang on.
Who are those by? Some...
Who are those by?
Oh, wait. It's actually choosing a side to fight on in a board game, both of which are by Molly.
Oh, nice. Well, I hope Molly appreciates this episode. This one's going out to you. Okay. When you guys hear choosing a side to fight on or board game, what do you think for a D&D or RPG session?
First thing that comes to mind for me is a combination of, like, what would happen in X-Men between Professor Xavier and Magneto, where they're always having this game of chess, and then also the first Harry Potter book, where we had everyone stand in for night chess. And so it could be kind of a combination of those, where there's some kind of powerful being who is using the party as, like, their pawns in a competition against another equally powerful being.
I like this. One of the things that I had thought of was, yes, very much Harry Potter wizard chest. But also, while we're throwing things out there that were from our childhood, Mortal Kombat chess was a big thing that taught me a lot about how to play chess. But the thing was, when two pieces occupied the same space, that would be when there's a big fight between them. I like the idea of these powerful beings almost playing like a cosmic game of chess, and it being very literal in the sense of them going against each other in that way. Like, it is literally these two beings playing chess. You can choose. I don't think that the party has to be pawns, but I feel like it's fun if they specifically, you got a paladin and they're like, well, yeah, you're the knight, of course, you're a knight on the game. Like, so you can have different things like that. You can have the fighter be like a pawn and be like, this isn't cool, fighters are more than that. And it's like, not to this guy. Like, you can have it be something really fascinating.
And you know, the bard is going to become the king.
Kind of a mirror verse thing where they're fighting themselves. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh,
somebody said something.
I said, you know, the bard is going to try to be the king or something like that.
Oh, pretty great. Yeah.
If we're going to go with the chess theme, why not just have it, you know, Battle of the Gods style? You have two gods trying to get your party to join their side.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like them trying to establish their pieces of what they are to them. Like, trying to prove the paladin being like, I am a knight. And it's like, I don't know. Can you make the moves I need you to make? Can you pull off some surprising tricks? Like, that could be a thing within its own right. To be, like, proving to these god characters that, like, A, no, you're worth what I need you to be. Like, I've chosen you, yeah. But you're all pawns until you prove otherwise. And that within itself can be something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's cool. Prove what piece you are for this battle.
We could also kind of poke fun at, like, the board game community. I know there's big movements where things that are, like, traditional games, mostly, like, Monopoly and Sorry and them. I don't know if chess would exactly fall into this category. But what if they're very, like, hipster gaming gods? So they're like, well, we could play chess or we could play this, and they're trying to go out and collect adventurers as their cards for a collectible card game, or something like that.
That would be interesting. This is like, this is a very meta campaign idea, is what it sounds. Because I don't feel like you can necessarily get away with like, oh, this is a one-off thing. There's these gods that play like games of chance with your life. It's like, no, but these things, if you wanted to do like a campaign of like, there are these two beings. One is very much set in this way. One is very much set in this way. And it doesn't have to be a traditional light, dark, good, bad, whatever. It can just be a sense of, here's what I think this should be, and here's what he thinks this should be, or she thinks this could be, and why we disagree on this. Join my side or join theirs. And it can be a thing of like, one's like, I value you because of these traits that you've shown, and the other one be like, I value you because of these other traits. So you can have that choice in that sense, where it's like, I value you, rogue, because you're stealthy and you don't ever hurt people, but you always get the job done. And the other person's like, I value you because your heart's not good, and deep down you're you're always trying to like think of a scheme, and that's what I need. I need a plotter. And like, you can have the different things. And even using the chess analogy that we came up with earlier, or chess idea, it's the difference of them going, hey, I think you're a knight, versus the other person going, I think you're a rook. I think you can do more powerful things if you side with me, and he just wants to use you in this way. I want to use you in this way. And that way is not even a thing of like, who's trying to use people? It's like, no, both sides are straight up telling you, we're trying to use you, but it's just, we're going to give you a choice. So that's what I'm thinking for it. I know a lot about board games, but I don't know enough to know how to interconnect all of them.
So I think we should decide which board game we want to focus on.
Why not all of them? That's my instant thought, though, is just like this concept of like every game built into one, like this weird Monopoly sorry life type thing, where it's just like, oh, okay. And you can do so much with that. Like, you could have it be that's like, oh, like you could have it almost be D&D and then it not be. Like, you could have it where a person's walking down the street and it's like, oh, you get stabbed, but instead of like dying, your character just becomes a baby again, and it's like, start over. And it's like, oh, that would be miserable. So dying still sucks, but at the same time, it's like, oh, this is a weird world.
I think that could work in many ways, especially if the party needs to go through with this to bring someone back to life in the story arc or whatnot.
That's really good.
You now have to play this game of the gods, and this game sucks. But if you win, you get, you know, maybe three wishes, or, you know, your
heart's deepest desire.
Right. Yeah. That NPC that the DM threw in spur of the moment that you have now fallen in love with, who has died because your DM has asked you to stop bringing them back in. Is now like, oh, you got to do this.
I like that. This kind of like really high stakes, high risk, high reward thing. There was, there was a movie or a TV show where they had like a game that was all the games combined, where it was like, oh, you play trivia, and then that leads to poker, and then that leads to this. So you could like combine it and or just have it spread out over time of like the gods being like, okay, it's basically best 5 out of 7 here, and them just being like, hey, all right, you won checkers, but I won chess, but you won Monopoly, but I won life, but you won this. And it's like back and forth with this very,
that
like,
would be great.
Your players would be exhausted, but at the same time it would be great. And then, of course, you can put your own DM twist on it, like we did, not like we did, but like our boys Rich and Cameron did with Zombie Candyland. You can throw that in there. That's a great time to use that, because it'll be like, all right, we're going to play Candyland. It's like, oh, yeah, we can survive Candy. Oh, my God, what did they do? Why is this so horrifying?
I think
so. You can make these games really awful in a way, but at the same time really fun to like play through. Because when people say, oh, we're gonna play checkers, really, and it's like, yeah, you get over here and help this prince, or help this pauper who's secretly a prince get over and become the true king that he needs to be to overthrow the other king. boom, go over and help these people get home who need to get home to do this thing, and that's sorry. Get enough money to take over this area to help these people do this. And it's like slowly you're building up these different things, and all these things can be different arcs, different sessions, depending on how long you want to make them.
Yeah, I was thinking this would be, this sounds like a great campaign idea to help DM set up a campaign where you could have one arc focus on sorry, another arc focuses on Monopoly. I think that'd be a great way.
Yeah, and you get to have these chances where the characters, one of the biggest things I admittedly don't like about D&D is that a lot of chances your characters don't really get to use all of their more intelligent traits unless it's in like a fight. So this would be a chance for them to like think about, okay, I want to use wisdom to do this. I want to read up on this to figure out what this is. And basically you have these moments where your characters can like try to look at the rules of what the games they are that they're playing and how the rules have been affected by the gods. And that way you're not just sitting around playing sorry in D&D. You're playing a game. You're still playing D&D, but you're doing it in a way where to anybody who is above board would be like, oh, this is sorry. I have to get these pieces here. And if they die, I have to go find a different thing. I have to get these eggs delivered to the spot to make the dragon mother happy. And once I get all four eggs in, then I'm cool. But until then, that's going to be difficult. And if somebody breaks an egg, I got to go back and get another one. Or phoenix eggs, because those can be reborn. Mm-hmm. So, like, the whole thing could be you can come up with all these crazy concepts for a ton of different ones.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I just think we should focus on one right now to get the ball rolling for a DM. And, you know, we could always come back to this and do another game on the Patreon, you know? Mm-hmm. Always come on.
That's true. Yeah, I'm down for that.
I think
let's...
The one that comes to mind for me really quickly is like Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
So yes. Instead of like the gods having these things that they, like the board that they would play with, it's just these animals in some kind of arena. And whoever has the animal that eats the most contestants wins.
Oh,
and so the
this
party
took a very different turn.
The party has to like weaken whoever they're competing against and not get eaten by either of the beasts as long as they can.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Oh, that plays a lot more with them being more pawn pieces than I thought. Like, and not in the sense of them in like, but like them being less involved. It's less of a, oh hey, you're working for me, and more of a, I need you to do this, and then once you're done doing this, you're like, I'll give you what you want. Mm-hmm. So, and that makes them far more impartial, which are to me far more interesting god characters within the D&D world.
And I really like that it's going back and forth. I feel like eventually, like, this has been a competition between them for ages, and mm-hmm. like the characters are only so old, so maybe there's some kind of like religious organization or just regular organization in the world that champion the causes of these two.
Yeah, and I'm hoping my microphone did not pick up that loud honk, but but if it did, I am sorry. But yes, I agree. I like the idea of it being almost like these cults of people have been like worshiping them, and they've been picking the people. Like, they could be like the chosen are the ones who end up living these extraordinary lives, and it's like, okay, cool. And so there's these cults dedicated to making these warriors who are like born to be chosen, and it just so happens that your party comes in and they just go, no, we want those guys, and both sides want them. And that's, again, I'm very much a dissect the character type person, so I think this would make a good like mid campaign reveal, not necessarily a beginning part, because I think you have to have a developed enough character to go, yeah, but you did burn that house down. Yeah, but I made sure nobody was in it. And it's like all these things where it's like, okay, well, this guy should be on my side. No, I want him on my side. And that, again, brings us back to more of the fighting sides going like, choose which one of us you want. I can bring back the one person you lost. I can give you unlimited powers so you can bring them back. And it's like, well, you know, which one is more likely to like bite you in the rear end in the end of that? Like, what's the bad choice? And arguably, there doesn't have to be one, mm-hmm. which is an interesting idea.
So this is really Kuatoas come to mind for me.
Oh, with glorious,
with just their ability of when they believe in something so much, it becomes a god. What if this is now like a tournament of two rival Kuatoa villages, and they're seeking their next like god, basically, which could ultimately be the party, and they're basing all of this like tournament on hungry hippos, where they've believed so much that these four ginormous monsters come out, and whoever can beat them or not be eaten by them are the next gods of this,
so,
for these villagers.
Okay, I like that. I thought you were going to go a different direction slightly. I thought you were going to go with the, when you were like Kuatoa, believing something so hard it becomes real. I was thinking, what if the gods that choose them to play in these games, or in a game, aren't real? They're the choosing factor into making your party gods.
Oh.
So they're the thing that, they are the test, but they don't really exist on their own accord. They're just, the Kuatoa believe so hard that there has to be a super tough, challenging process that you have to go through to become a god or to be the thing that they need, that is what they put your party through accidentally, even, because they believed in this thing so much that it became real enough, but it doesn't exist on its own accord. So you can have something that's not in the DM handbook, that's not one of the listed gods. It's just the Kuatoa believed in this choosing process, and so it made these two sides of choosing processes that go like, okay, we are to purify and put you through these, and you're going to either survive the hungry hippos and prove that you're a warrior in that right, but then you have to prove this and this thing, or, oh, you have to do things that way. But the Kuatoa, I love that, and I love that concept of them mm-hmm. believing in the party in the sense of, like, you could be what we need, but I don't know if I'd make it that they're the god ones as much as I'd make it as they're like, oh, you're part of the choosing. You need to go in the choosing thing now.
Oh, yes, I like that. Yep, I like that a lot. So what, so we have the Kuatoas. So, the adventurers would be part of the choosing, right? Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah. Yeah. The adventurers, the way I view it is like a magical plucking from existence. So it's like they're walking down the street and then all of a sudden now they're in a platform of hungry hippos. Why? Because the Kuatoa believe that there are these things that would choose great warriors to be the next gods. So it's not even that they believe that so this is getting complicated, but in my mind, it's that the Kuatoa made gods that choose who are to be the next gods, and that's their full purpose.
Okay.
Does that make sense? That's a lot, but it's like,
we could kind of
step removed.
Reduce the complexity of that if we go with the Kuatoa have always been, it's two like competing tribes of Kuatoa, and so they think that to actually win, they've put so much belief into beating the other in competition that like gods of competition for the two tribes have originated. And so they keep going back and forth with that. And their civilization has basically been decimated from these games. And so they have to like go out and get other pieces to throw into the game.
Yes. And then your adventurers now have to choose, do they go with the Kuatoas on the left or do they go with the Kuatoas on the right type of which tribe are they going to fight for, basically, in this giant game of hungry hippos?
Mm-hmm. Also, what are we going to put as the hippos?
I mean, they're...
I pulled up Kuatoa to see if they have any, like, specific types of pets, so it could be something other than like the hippo itself.
Yeah, it could be hippogriffs too, though.
Hungry hippogriffs.
That's really good.
That's an episode title right there.
Yeah.
but yeah, having it be that you have these you have that happen, and you can have it be like different rounds of that even if you just want to. And if you wanted to do just a one-off thing, that'd be a lot easier too to accept that it's like, oh, you were thrown in hungry, hungry hippogriffs and you survived it and you're like, oh no, screw this, I am out. And so you just book it.
Yeah, and they would, and I would assume these hippogriffs, if we go with that, are just ginormous. And you have, yes, you have different adventuring parties inside this arena. And like, because I would assume the Kuotoa would pick different people to fight for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have all these different NPCs that are monsters. Like you have a tribe of bugbears. And you're like, oh, what? And then some Kuotoa is like, yeah, but our bugbears, we believe that they're like all empowering. So like they have like beefed up armor and stuff on now.
Oh, so that's what you mean by them like believing that. I kind of get it now. Okay.
So like they're like our champions. We believe in you so much that now you go to hit this normally easy bugbear to kill or what have you, and now it has like resistance to non-magical attacks. And you're what?
Well, my concern there is I don't know if that would just turn into a like almost child's game of like, you hit me, nuh-uh, because I believe that I'm wearing invincible clothes, and it's like, what? Like,
well,
that's my only
see that could be the thing is that. Then now your party is like, oh my god, we're caught in this stupid child's game, how do we defuse this situation so all these people don't get brought into this death fight.
Mm-hmm.
So if your party is, I know, see, my party does not very much like combat. They like the ever so often, let's fight a dragon, but they don't like, you know, mm-hmm. walking through the forest and being attacked by wolves. They're more into the role-playing aspect. So a lot of their situations or solutions to problems is trying to get out of it without fighting. So if your party is inclined to do so, now you have a diplomatic approach of, all right, so maybe if we can get them all to believe in one thing, we can solve this. Or, you know, okay, you spend your time fighting these creatures that you have no chance of beating.
I think, like we talked about, they wouldn't really need to beat the creatures because this is like one of many games. I don't think Hungry Hungry Hippogriffs would be the only game that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So they would just be the first one that the party's introduced to.
Okay, yeah, and yeah, so, I like that too.
And of course, a lot of the people are going to die to these things, and then they just go on to the next competition, and there's like you have to go red and blue because those are like always opposing colors, but they have like little tiles after each game where they just kind of set it on the victory pile, and there's just like this tower of these tokens that the players wouldn't even be able to count, but there's definitely someone like a Kuotoa that knows, oh, there's 2693 blue and 2692 red.
So it's like an endless kind of war almost in a way of them just kind of doing this. Okay, real quick on Hungry Hungry Hippogriffs real quick. Going back to that. Someone's got to believe in the monsters, though. That's what's also interesting, too, is that it's like you... Because, come on, guys. We cheer for the bad guys in events all the time and movies and stuff. Like, it's just, it happens. So it's like there's some guy who's just like, I want to see some blood. Like, there's one Kuotoa out there who's just amped about these hippogriffs. He's like, come on, hippogriff, take down that bugbear. You ain't got nothing. I think that would be interesting, too, if you have it like these things get buffed, but also can be debuffed by, so it's like you have to kind of do like a style in a sense. It's more of also using that as well. So it's using, again, I'm very into using a lot of stuff that doesn't get used a bunch, but using more of the charisma, more of like, okay, yeah, you killed a hippogriff, but did you do it with cool moves? Because if you didn't do it with cool moves, people are going to be like, eh, he's okay. But I like Charlie over there. Charlie's doing it and like swinging swords around. He didn't kill a hippogriff, but he looked cool the whole time. And it's like, okay, now everybody's like, Charlie's more powerful than you because you weren't cool. Like,
yeah, oh, I love that sense, idea. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like a level gladiatorial of board games.
Yeah. So it's like, it takes it to a level where it's like, okay, if your power is belief, you then have to make people believe in you. So it's like, you got to give them a show or show like, I am strong. Look at me do this thing. And I did it and I made it look easy. If you struggle, people might be like, well, I don't really know about him. So you have to, even if you are struggling, then you have to roll like an acting or a performance to be like, hey, I'm doing, this is exactly how I wanted that. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know. Oh, he got eaten by it to attack from the inside. I know. Like,
yeah, I think also if like the hippogriffs die and the crowd doesn't like that, I think they could easily just come back.
Oh, yeah.
And then just, you know, causing this endless loop of how do we get this crowd on our side to win?
Yeah, and then also, so you have two kind of goals there then, because it's like, how do you win and survive? Because they're going to keep throwing stuff at you until they're satisfied, so you have to satisfy the audience. And then also, how do you end the game? Because this is going to be basically endless. If you get trapped, if you get tricked by these Kuwatoa into thinking, oh, you're our champions, you're our guys who are going to end it, there's never an end for this because there's always more games. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, so then
you have to figure out how to get out of that.
Yeah, that's a great point of how do you end this cycle, or do you end the cycle, or do you just start being bad at the games to get out of it? I think this is great because it's so open-ended to give your players such a different opportunities to showcase off their skills and also solve this problem without maybe not even solving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like a valid option that people sometimes forget in D&D is just run away. you can run away. I don't think you can run away in this sense because you're just going to be in a Colosseum. Also, here's a question. What do they get when they win? Because I feel like the Kuwatoa would be like, oh, yes, the gods have provided for us again. And then they're like, here, have this endless bounty. So it's like, maybe your party wants to stay there. Maybe that's now like, oh, we do stuff. We get XP, I guess. This ain't too bad. Like,
yeah, I think there has to be some sort of reward, rather, or I guess either if it's money or gold or if it's, you know, a wish or something. Because if they have such a strong magical power of just believing in something it comes about. If your players are stuck in your campaign and they have to find this one, like maybe a lich's phylactery or something like that, they could easily enough be like, okay, if we win this, we need you to believe in this phylactery in my hand right now. And so
they could,
and that way if they go through all of this pain and struggle of this, of these fights, now they have mm-hmm. something they need, and your game can progress rather than just be in a deadlock, you know.
I was thinking more along the lines of even just enhancing themselves, like that low-level wizard who's always like, man, I just wish I had higher AC, and if he shows up like, I'm super strong, I have the highest AC, and they're like, oh, we believe him, he's super strong, he has higher AC. It's like, okay, but you have to get them to buy into it. I don't think you can ask for it from them. I feel like you have to be like, yeah, and we have this lich's phylactery, and they're like, oh my gosh, did you hear? They have the lich phylactery. I don't even know what that is. What is that? Oh my gosh, they have it. And it's like, oh, well, we actually do now. We know where that is now because they believe in us.
Yes.
So I feel like in a sense, you would have to do it's a good way for stuck parties, I think you're right, to get whatever they need. But I feel like it should be after a few games or a few rounds of something to the point where it's like, well, yeah, they're really good. They really are who they say they are. And so you would just have to have the party know, like, if you say you're this, you're going to be like, they're going to think that you're that. And I feel like you can say that and then the party be surprised of like, okay, like one of them could be like, well, I'm super smart, and be like, okay, you survived these two rounds of combat. here, have a +1 in your investigation skills because you have a negative investigate. And they'll be like, oh, wait, why? And it's like, well, Kuwatoa now believes you're really good at paying attention to different things going on.
Yes, like, yes. That's great. Yeah.
So you can spread that out over time to the point where the party is getting buffed, but not so extreme that it's like, well, I have 20 intel and just one. And then, unless you're like, I've defeated everybody, because then you have like, oh, yeah, someone's going to go, he's really smart. He really always knows when to dodge, when to do this. And that can be like a thing where you get buffed that way. Mm-hmm. So it would be a thing of earning and faking your way into being the person that the Kuotoa believed you were all along. This sounds very Disney movie, but, but it is like you become the character they thought you were. So this is a great way if you wanted to fast track level ups, because I know a lot of people also have issues with going, well, I want to run like a level 5 campaign, but my characters are level 4 or level like 2, and I wanted to run like a level 8 thing, and it's like, I don't want to just throw that at them. That seems mean. And it's like, well, this is a good way to like skip ahead in a way, because it's just like, do these rounds of combat, come back to it later, or have it be that you can come back, or have it be that you can only do this like once. Once you leave, it's like, oh, you're not really our people, because our people would stay. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, now you have a thing of, do you just keep grinding forever? Well, no, because we have this other timed goal, or we don't know how long it's been since we've really left. We're kind of losing track of time. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do a lot there where it's like, oh, you spent like 3 years there. Meanwhile, that lich that you found the phylactery location of, he's off taking over like half the kingdom. Good job.
Yeah, like, there you go.
So it's like you have senses of things going on, but it's not so much that it's distracting them from, okay, I can get a lot of stuff here. So it's, again, another risk-reward thing of this could work.
How would the party know without like metagame knowledge that they would be able to gain this from the Kuotoa before going
in? I would
in?
Do minor things first. So I would, like, when they talk to the Kuotoa, I would have stuff happen that they would have to pick up on over time. Like, one of them could be like, oh yeah, I'm from such and such, and I have this, that back there, we slap people with fish. And then later on, they'll just be, like, slapping people with fish. I'm like, these things are gullible. But then later on, they'll have, like, a memory of, like, slapping someone with a fish. And I'm like, I didn't do that, did I? When did that happen? What's happening to my mind? And then it can be like, oh, it affects your mind. Does it affect anything else? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would work, but it might. This is a tricky one to pull off.
Yeah, I think you could also, if, say you are doing the thing of where your party's stalled, they don't know where to go next. You could easily have an NPC be like, oh, well, you know, there's that those villages are down the street if you want to, you know, work on those while you're deciding on what to do. And then when they get there, you just have one guy, like you're, as a DM, you should just listen to something your players say. So like, say your wizard is like, oh man, I really like, I feel really sick today or something like that. And then eventually you have it where like the more time they spend in there, the more time your wizard gets sick, or, you know, that's actually kind of a bad example, but
I get it. Like whatever the characters say is what the Kuotoa, I don't know how gullible they are, but it seems like they could be interpreted as very gullible beings. Mm-hmm. So you could have it be that, like, what their words are being said from these characters is what goes. So it's like, oh, yeah, well, we're stronger than you guys. So, like, even, like, the super, like, later on, you could have, like, a super buff Kuotoa be there and be like, oh, they're stronger than me. And then it's, like, super small and not scrawny Kuotoa the next day, but my muscles are gone because they're stronger than me. And it's like,
Yeah, like, yeah, I think just subtle things of like of that, or your if you have a bard in your party and your bard tells a story that's obviously made up trying to get free shelter for the night or something like that, and the next day your bard wakes up and looks outside and there it is, there's the story. Because all of these,
right,
these Kuotoas, I don't know if they're gullible, more of just very much looking for something to believe in, or just very mm-hmm. much a trusting community. So I think if they hear this fabulous tale of these great adventurers that are going on, like say, like you said, you're level 4, you've been playing for a couple months, they've done some great deeds, they killed, you know, the goblins and whatnot, all of a sudden they get this Kuotoa runner being, hey, we need help with our village. That way you can start the ball rolling of how did he find me, or and then he's like, oh, I believed I knew where you were, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start slowly layering on of like, oh, if we use these guys to get what we want, we can pretty much get whatever. And then, you know, you can do a hard side effect later on.
Yeah. You can have it be that, again, what they say offhand matters then, because it will happen, or in a sense will start to happen, because you don't have to be like, I'm dead tired today, and then like the character wakes up dead. That's not fun. But like,
right.
But in the sense of like, oh, well, he's dying. Why is he dying? Well, he believed he was dead tired. Or you could, I guess for that, you could put him like in a coma or something. Like you could do stuff where it's like, oh, this is dangerous levels of magic. And even then you could have it be that belief of one Kuo-Toa, not a ton, but the belief of multiple Kuo-Toa together is what brings things to life or brings things into existence.
Especially these two very fierce, very religious groups that have been going at each other for so long. That's where it becomes really, really dangerous.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great. Like, sorry, I usually play, I've only ever played bards except for once where I played a paladin, but just like if the bard says this lavish lie of, oh, I'm the strongest warrior in the world type thing, or, you know, I'm super rich, and then he keeps telling this lie, and the story does some performance or persuasion checks, and all of a sudden more and more Kuo-Toas, as the party ventures around their villages and whatnot, they hear rumors of this great powerful warrior type thing, or if you're boosting up the party and the party's getting a lot of as more they win and stuff, I should say, the more they win these games, the more they hear about themselves from the Kuo-Toas, and he's like, I heard that the wizard has a third eye or something like that. And then he wakes up and the wizard has a third eye. And he's like, what the heck is happening?
Oh, I like that, where it's like the more they start to win, the more rumors and stuff start about them too. Like, oh yeah. And it's like, oh, and I was like, I would love to take what is my lover. And it's like, no, he has seven lovers, each trying to murder him. And it's like, oh no, this is bad.
Yes.
Like, or have this situation where
I heard,
like,
the bard has a silver tongue. I don't know what that means. And then the bard wakes up and he's got a silver tongue, and it's like, oh my god, what?
Yeah, so that's interesting. Now we're in the meat and potatoes, as they say. I like this. And that's scary too, because it's like, there's your high risk, high reward for it, where it's like, oh no, not everything that you can get a ton of stuff here, but is it worth the risk of people getting this rumor? And then also you can have the celebrity problem of, now I got to fight back these rumors to get what I want. But if I can convince people, then I'm good. But if I can't, that would be also interesting. If they're like, if you had one person be like, I heard such and such, it's secretly evil. It's like, oh, how do you play that? Do you have one of your characters then all of a sudden start to work against the party if you wanted to?
Should there be who's the bad guy of this story? Should there be someone who's like behind the scenes manipulating these tribes? But who's also like an entertainment personality? So they're the ones kind of generating a lot of the rumors?
Like a ringmaster?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think it's got to be the Rakasha, right?
Oh, yes! We can finally bring him back! Yes, baby! That proves we are a sequel podcast, baby. Yeah! yes, bring in the Rasasha. I cannot ever say it, so that's how it's going to come Rikishi. Out of my face. Whatever its name was, I can't even remember the name of it, but yeah, this is the perfect place to bring this in. If we can get a thing of what episode that was, but yeah, having him be behind it, our beloved audio gremlin, Andrew has told us episode 4, he thinks. You guys will know because you have the ability to check. I think that'd be so great. So you have this Rakshasa causing all this issue with these things, because you can either have it be a sequel, a prequel. This can be the first thing, and he masterminds his horror picture show that happens later.
Oh, I think this has to be the sequel. I think you should send him to the Rakasha horror show first, and then he gets away, and now slowly but surely they're like getting popularity in here. They're getting the things that they want. They want to stay, and all of a sudden, they're in their last game. It could be like the last game Oh, Rat Trap could be the last game, if you guys remember that one. And and all of a sudden this cage falls down on them, and the Rakasha pulls off like a, I think they can shapeshift and change their appearance or whatnot. So it looks like he's one of the Kuotoas. It could be a Kuotoa that's been on their side the whole time, like pulls off the face mask, reveals himself, and now they're in this death game, where before the games were like kind of innocent. They're in hungry hippogriffs. And when the giant hippogriff head would come down and chomp on someone, you'd see them go off into kind of like the out of bounds area, like they're out of play.
Because then people believed in them. But then there's once he comes out and is like surprised, he can be like, you know, it turns out they're not so easy to catch. They're probably real easy to kill. And all of them can be like, oh no, are they easy to kill? I don't know. It's like, I hear that they haven't even dealt with the past issues of the other parts of the campaign. And you can bring back all the villains if you wanted to.
Oh, that's good.
You could do anything with that. And it's like, I heard they once dealt with a mind flare and this and that. And only true heroes could. That's another thing. You could have him reveal himself, but then still act like, I heard that these people are so strong they could deal with these things, but I don't know if they could anymore. And so it's like that weird mix of, I believe in these things existing for them to prove it, and like them to go up against it. And then you could have the Kuotoa lose faith. That can also negatively impact stats if you want to be really mean.
Yeah, you have to. As soon as he's like, I think they're pretty easy to kill, immediately drop their AC down like 5 points. Just now it's like, oh. It's just
like, oh no.
So, first off, listeners, go listen to episode 4 of the original Filling in the Gaps, Rakasha Horror Show. Rakasha Picture Horror Show? What is it? It was a play on words. Now I have to look at it.
I think it's Rakasha
Horror Picture Show. Yeah, like Rocky.
Yeah.
So go listen to episode
4.
Which
is also pretty good.
Then come back. I know you paused it. You listened to it. Jump back here.
Welcome back.
And now listen to this episode.
Now you'll get all this part that we were talking about, how brilliantly evil this character is. Having him show up there and having him be like, hey, I like... It's a perfect, like, I am the villain and I have duped you into this trap. And it, the cool part of it doesn't even have to be that, to answer your question, David, I don't think it has to be that it was set up by him. I just think he needs to show up at the thing where he hears, like, oh, the party went here, hey? Oh, I'll be there. And, like, he makes his way there and sees it over time. Like, when the rumor mill starts going, maybe it is just, like, weird things, like, the wizard has a third eye, I hear that such and such has 7 lovers and all these different things, but they don't turn deadly or don't turn, like, super dangerous until he shows up, and then it's like, why did things start to get worse? Why did the games start to turn into, like, death traps? When did this become Saw? I want to leave. I heard that nobody leaves these games.
This is, like, his replacement. So, because he was, like, feeding on his victims in the first episode. So he could be kind of getting that same nourishment and even a power boost from their belief in him as, like, the ringleader.
Yeah, and that would be interesting if he originally shows up as a fish person, as a Kuotoa. God, I love Kuotoa so much. I'm so grateful that you guys picked them for the monster for this.
I want to play this right now. Like, let's roll up some characters. Let's go.
Oh, it's so good. So you have it be that he shows up as a Kuotoa. He, like, takes off the mask of it and it was like, peeks his head through the bullet. Ha-ha. And they're like, wait, was that? And then it's like, he's gone in the crowd. Then later on, he shows up as like, hello, I'm going to be your new ringleader. We need some people to decide. It's like, I'm going to play judge of the game, so that way we have a more even split amongst who wins and who loses. And of course, he's against you, so it's going to be a big thing.
He doesn't even need to have like a moment where they see him. Rakshasa have that really weird thing with their hands where their fingers bend backwards instead of forwards. So it could just be like a Kuotoa whose hand bends the opposite direction, and that could be the clue.
I feel like at one point you have to do the full reveal of just like taking off the Kuotoa face and reveal like, I've been a tiger all along.
Oh, yeah. I think that'd be great. I think that, especially if your party is like looking for him or something like that. Oh, I just, I think they would be so like, oh, damn, not this guy again.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no, this guy's got it out for us. And having it be that he's very ever-present, in a sense. I'm sorry if you're hearing background noise. That is my dog. But very ever-present, in a sense, where he is, like, now entering the idea of, like, campaign-level villain. No.
And with the shape-shifting, he can just be anywhere and anyone in your campaign. So that drops in a little bit of paranoia.
Oh, yeah.
For the players.
Yeah, because then it's just like, who can we trust? Who can we have?
Every new person they meet. Show me your hands. Do they bend backwards?
Who are you? How did you know my name? You don't have stripes, do you? I think we have a pretty good wrap on this one, so let's move into our recap and synopsis. You know what? For the first one, let's just roll. The two highest rolls are going to do it. How's that?
Sounds good. Oh, well, that's not me. I got a 2.
15.
16.
Okay.
So, Dave, which one do you want to do?
I think I'd prefer the recap this time.
Okay. And just for everyone's clarification, the recap is recapping everything we just talked about, while the synopsis is a more focus scene of the episode, right?
Yep.
Awesome. We'll do the recap first then?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. For this episode, what we've come up with, the adventuring party stumbles their way upon a group of fanatical Kuotoa who, over the years, their belief in a spirit of competition between these two tribes has actually become a deity, an actual spirit of each of these tribes in competing against the other. And their beliefs, the beliefs of these tribes, are what power the pawns in their games. As the party first enters, they're dropped into a game of Hungry Hungry Hippogriff, where they need to avoid being consumed by one of the large monsters that represent one of the two teams as they're trying to get everyone else to lose. As the campaign, or as this session will go on, there is a ringleader who is oddly familiar to the party, who is leading rumors and discussion amongst the Kuotoa in order to have the games go in their favor. It's up to the party to either put a stop to it or just get as powerful as they need to from the beliefs of these Kuotoa before escaping, hopefully, with their lives.
And all right, for the synopsis, we're going to have the camera focused down in. Your party has just been dropped into this game. A giant eagle head sits at the end of an arena as it lurches forward, chomping at your party and the other NPC fighters. As your party goes on and on fighting, eventually they're declared the winners. A friendly Kuotoa comes up to them with its hands bent backwards, greeting them and thanking them for being their champion. As they continue on, they're dropped into different games. Sometimes they're trying to solve a murder mystery, or other times they're trying to capture the other team's king. All in all, this Kuotoa that is so friendly to them is raising up their popularity, telling them, what are you looking for? How can I help you? Spreading these fabulous rumors, giving the bard a silver tongue, giving him advantage on charisma saving throws. Or your wizard's AC is skyrocketed to a 30, making him feel like a god. But then they get to the final game. Their Kuotoa friend reveals himself as the judge all along. A spotlight shines down and circus music starts to play as he rips off his face. And there comes back their evil reoccurring villain, the Rakasha, as he claps his hands, applauding your party about how well they've done. Hellhounds form up, come up behind him. It is now time for their last game. And that's what I got there.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Again, I want to play this. This sounds so cool. It's one of those things, though, where I feel like it'd be cooler if I didn't know any of the spoilers. It's like, I got spoiled on a real good movie, and it's like, dang it, now I want to watch it, but now it's not the same. This sounds really, really fun, guys. I hope that everyone's being safe out there and having a good time with their games. Meantime, we're going to be here holding down the fort now and giving you guys that sweet feeling in the gaps you craved and missed so much. Just a little different.
Yeah, so I hope you guys will continue with us. If you want us to listen to Rich and Cam, they're over at DM's Treehouse. So please feel free to listen to them. We'll get our social media up running relatively soon. Hold on. Let me read this real quick. Yes, as our audio gremlin says, we are the new filling in the gaps re-rolled with a twist of line now. We got three hosts, me being Sam, one of them.
Me being Malcolm, another.
And the last one is David.
Thanks again for listening, and I hope this will help you to actually play some D&D.
Hey there, thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps. Our theme music is Today by Limby off of their album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more from them at limby.bandcamp.com or on their actual play podcast, Bombarded. That's Limby, spelled L-I-N-D-B-Y. And if you want to hear more from your host, well, you can find me, Malcolm, at The Ruler of Rhyme.
I am at DM Mambo 5.
And you can find me at Daedra 18, that is D-A-E-D-R-A 1-8.
And you can follow the show at FitGD&D or on our Discord server. We are always looking for new themes and scenarios to add to our list. The show is edited by our beloved audio gremlin, Andrew Brown, and you can follow them at Nubinator 912. Lastly, we are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast, and you can learn more about us at obtuseaudio.com. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes, if that's what you think we deserve, but we hope you do. All right, thanks, have a great day, and be good to each other.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.